Now, we saw last week, as we looked in part one of this statement, the strange woman, we saw that there is indeed a way that indeed is the wrong path, the wrong way. It is that which purports to be Christian. It purports to be of God. And it is the way of falsehood. It is the way that is like an immoral woman, likened to an immoral woman. And as we've seen in the scripture, God's people are likened to a bride. And those who fall aside unto falsehood and idolatry, God likens them to those who have committed spiritual adultery with their many gods. God made this statement, this charge was levelled many times against the people of Israel in particular, the northern kingdom of Israel, but also at times against the kingdom of Judah as well. And we see here this evening, as we look more particularly at verses 17 through to 19. As we've seen last time, something of the nature of the immoral woman, something of the what to look out for, those lying words, those deceptive words. As we reminded ourselves that Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that we're to be grounded in the truth, because indeed we're not to be indeed carried away with every shifting wind of doctrine, where people lie in wait, the cunningness and the deceitfulness of man. And we look tonight more particularly at why there is what I would call the immoral woman, likening it to the false church. Why is there a false church? Why is there a false church today? Why is it in such a state today? Well, from this analogy of an immoral woman who leaves her husband and indeed goes after other men, this indeed is a perfect analogy of the church of God that has gone astray. We read here, who forsakes the companion of her youth? Who forsakes the companion of her youth? The King James puts it this way, who forsakes the guide of her youth? The companion and guide of her youth, being as one who she's married to. And yes, we can indeed look at the physical teaching of this, how indeed that this is rife in our society. We see that people are truth breakers. They are not, they don't keep to their promises anymore, and indeed they forsake the one they were espoused to, even for many years, and now they turn aside and they seek after others, being unfaithful. And this is an analogy of the way the church has gone. This is an analogy of the way spiritual darkness has come upon many. But firstly, we see the strange woman, the false church, shows herself to have left the truth, to have left, forsaken it. They have left the guide of her youth. When you look at the church and you see the state of the church, and even in the days of the Apostle John, we saw many, many problems with the church, where indeed the Lord said he had many things against them. And one of the worst charges of the lot was that they had left their first love. Had left their first love. They held to many things. They said they stood against many false things, but yet they had left their first love. As soon as the church leaves the guide, as soon as the church leaves the guide, as the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As soon as the church leaves her guide, the Lord Jesus himself and his word alone, this is when the problem starts. This is always when the problem starts. As soon as the church goes after many voices, many other ways, many other influences, and they invade the church, this is when the problem starts. This is when they start to forsake the guide of their youth. You see, the state that many churches are in is that they have committed spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery. I'm so glad that God has used such graphic language in his word. We would probably not use such language. No one would want to be accused. No one with a conscience wants to be accused of being an adulterer. But that's what God says to those who have forsaken his way. Who once had the truth, held to the truth. Just take a walk in South Wales today. Just take a walk in South Wales today and see how many. I know a building is not a church, but you know what I mean. What it was used for. How many chapels? They are aquariums. I've seen them. Aquariums, antique showrooms, and all manner of things. Bingo halls. A place where many people, faithful people, weren't just religious. They actually loved God. And it can be seen all around, can it not? It can be seen all around here. We look at the rubble where they are building the new houses here. And that is a graphic example of the state of the church. It's rubble. Just rubble. Because they've turned aside to lies. With many lovers. The idea here is of a woman forsaking her husband from her youth. The one that she married in her youth. And now she forsakes him. And that is the state of the church. That's the state of God's people. Whenever they turn aside unto strange ways that are not the old paths, that are not the paths of God. For see what God says to that northern kingdom of Israel in Jeremiah 3. What sad language here. Jeremiah 3 verses 1 to 8. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return to me, says the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see where you have not lain with men. What a statement. What a statement that is. Imagine a husband saying that to their wife. Well, there was a man who said that. There was a man who was told to marry a harlot. Hosea, who indeed prefigures our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is us all We can't totally point the finger, because that was us. That was us outside of Christ. That was us outside of salvation. We played the harlot spiritually against our God. But that's what he says here. You played the harlot with many lovers. He's likening their following after false gods and false religion to be playing the harlot. It's one and the same. Yet return to me, says the Lord. Where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them, like an Arabian in the wilderness. And you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there have been no latter rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. We find that in the physical world, in the country in which we live, and in this world in general. But we look at this country in which we live, there's no shame. There's no shame for physical harlotry, physical adultery. There's no shame for fornication. There's no shame for anything. So much so that it was said to me even yesterday, in a fleeting second, you just can't get away from the advert that comes across the screen and shoves it in your face. The wickedness that there's no shame for today. And so there is no shame amongst that which called itself the Church of God and still calls itself in name the Church of God. There's no shame. The fact that they've gone against the Word of God, that they've gone against God and against the foundation, who is Christ. Will you not from this time cry to me, my Father, you are the guide of my youth? Proverbs 2 says that this wicked woman, this strange woman, this adulterous woman, this immoral woman forsakes the guide of her youth and won't return. See these words. Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Will you have spoken and done evil things as you were able? The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. She did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her, these are so sad, these ones. I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. See what happened. See what happened to adulterous Israel. They were taken. They were taken by the Assyrians into captivity. And to this day they have not returned. Any Jew will tell you that there are those who are named as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They've never truly returned. What a sad state. And that is the state of the church today. In many cases where once there was a true gospel witness, God is, even in these days, is divorcing himself from the false church, the Ichabod. The Lord's glory has left. Sure, they've got a big program going. Sure, they've got many things going. But God's not with them. Not really. They claim God's with them, but not the God of this Bible is with them. The immoral, strange woman who has gone after many lies, many lovers, and so defiled herself. That's the church difference. That's the church. That's what we're to guard against. Secondly, the church of God, which exists as his church, what I would say, in name only. In name only. There's a big sign above the doors. There's a big sign. They go by many denominational names and all kinds of description. In name only, they are the church of God, though. In name only. We see the charge that is against her is this. They have truly forgotten. They have truly forgotten the true message. The true message of the gospel. They don't seem to know it anymore. If they know it in any way, they are stifling it. They're ashamed of it. They've forgotten the true message of the cross. This immoral woman, this strange woman, this one that we're to avoid and have nothing to do with, we're told that indeed she has gone aside after many lovers, but she has indeed forsaken. She has forsaken the guide of her youth. And she doesn't know the way anymore. She forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. If we were to look at the state of, as we look at marriage again, as we look at physical marriage again in this country, they miss this. When they commit adultery, when people commit adultery, or cause one to commit adultery by their being, by their divorcing one for no right reason, they forget that they are not sinning just against their spouse. Because there is, whether they believe on the Lord or not, God has instituted this. Forsaking all of us. And God is not mocked. The covenant of marriage stands still, whether people take it lightly or not. And so it is an important lesson in the spiritual realm. The covenant of their God, they have forgotten. They've forgotten it. There is a covenant in the blood of Christ. As we think of the church, there is a covenant in his blood. When he gave that institution of the Lord's Supper, after that last Passover supper, when he was about to suffer as that Passover, he said, This is the blood of the new covenant in my blood. They've forgotten that. The false church has forgotten the covenant, the new covenant of Christ in his blood. They are oblivious, it seems, to the gospel of truth. For this expression, forgets, has also the meaning in the Hebrew. The meaning of, to be oblivious of. And when you look on the church today, you think, are they oblivious? Are they reading the same Bible as me? Are they reading the same gospel as me? How is it that they cannot see? They've been led astray by so many lying voices, as we looked at last time. By the flattering words of preaching, the itching ears they've heaped up unto themselves, those who would tell them the things they want to hear. Can they not see? How are they so oblivious to the truth? They are oblivious of the promises of God in the gospel. How many people there are who say that they are Christians? And you've met them, haven't you? You've met them. The title Christian just rolls off the tongue. And you give them a fair crack of the whip, but you don't judge them, you can't look into their heart, and you speak with them. And yet, tell them of the such wondrous truths and promises that you know in the gospel. Such wondrous truths and promises as revealed in the gospel of God. And how often you find them to be ignorant of them. They're ignorant of them. They're oblivious of them. Ignorant, oblivious of the truth. How is it? Because they have been led astray after the flattering words of the seductress. Second Timothy 3:7-8 says of her, the false church, and her teachers especially, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These are sad words, and yet they are true words. And they are neglected words. There are reprobates. There are tares that have been sown amongst the wheat. But here, especially when particularly looking at the institution of the false church, the false denominations, the false local church, and their leaders who lead others astray. These particular leaders know nothing of truth, and they are reprobate leaders. They not only forsake the companion of the youth. Yes, the church may have had foundations many years before, based in truth, founded on the truth, but they have completely gone away from it now. Thirdly, the ways of the apostate fallen church are not the way of eternal life. There's only one gospel. There's only one message, which is the message of life. It's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, his truth, as revealed in this book. He has the words of eternal life. Sure, they speak of a Jesus. They speak of a Jesus that they praise and they worship. But the truth, so called, they proclaim is not the word of life. Neither can it be. For her house, verse 18, her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. Her paths lead to death. And all who are following after the false way are sinking, which is what this word means. Sinking to death. sinking down. Because you see, they are building their house upon the sand. And only the wise man who built his house upon the rock, which Jesus says is upon himself and his word. That's what he said. But those who are not building upon Jesus and his word are building on the sand. And that house fell flat. It sank. And that's what's happening here. They are indeed sinking. This death of sinking down. They are in that miry clay and they are going down. Whereas us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, when we who have been made wise unto salvation, yes, we have nothing to boast save in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we know he lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock and made our footsteps firm. He established our steps and put a new song on our lips. The paths of the false church are on the same broad road. We quite often would only dare to place the false, quote marks, world religions on the broad road. On the broad road. Along with all sinners outside of Christ, who, whether they be religious or otherwise. But we don't dare to think for one second that which calls itself Christian could well be on the broad road. But the Lord Jesus' teaching is clear. There are those who will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not heal the sick? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do many things in your name? And he says to them, depart from me to the left. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And so this is a sad thing. There is a false way. There is a false church which is on the broad road. And only if God be gracious, those who are found within them, if God be gracious and call them by his grace off of that broad road onto the narrow road. For this broad road leads to destruction, as the ways of the strange woman. Because this is the strange gospel, the false gospel. It doesn't lead to life, it leads to destruction. We sing a hymn at times, On Christ the solid rock I stand. And we forget so soon, all, not just some, but all other ground is sinking sand. As Proverbs 14, and so important it is, it gets repeated in verse 6, in chapter 16 as well. There is a way that seems right unto a man, and its ways are the ways of death. It's interesting to note, is it not? There's a way that seems right unto a man. They all follow their way. They may be different to each other, but ultimately they're the same. They're the same. They're the ways of death. And so we don't follow after the way of a particular theologian. We don't follow, however good. We don't follow after the ways of a catechism or a basis of faith. We follow after Lord Jesus. We follow after the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because his way is the only way. He's the only way, truth and life. Fourthly, sadly, not many who forsake the truth. I can't be unequivocal here, but although having said that, looking at this word, not many who forsake the truth of the gospel and turn aside. And we're looking particularly at those who seem to be enlightened once, who seem to be under the truth, who seem to be going in the way of truth, who profess truth. I'm not talking about those who find themselves under false teachers and they get enlightened. I'm talking about those who turn from truth. Not many who forsake the truth of the gospel and turn aside to the lies of the erroneous church, being enticed with the ways of the strange woman. Not many will return. Not many. I can't say for certain, not every, although the word of God says, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. For with many, they have been appointed unto this. And this is a hard saying for many to take. But the word of God teaches us clearly. For many they are appointed unto this. They have been appointed unto this. As surely as Pharaoh was appointed to have his heart hardened. The Lord hardened his heart. And so indeed, as surely as Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated, there are those who have been appointed unto this apostate state. I don't say it. God says it. The Spirit of God says it clearly in 1 Peter 2. We see in 1 Peter 2 when people stumble at the truth of Christ, the rock. We see in verses 6 and 8. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. They will not be caused to stumble. They will not stumble at his word. Therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. Now most preachers stop there. They don't read the rest of the verse, if they have it in their Bible. God's word says they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. They are reprobate. God's word is telling us this. It's not necessarily a palatable teaching, but it is a righteous, just teaching of the righteous, just God. They are a people, or rather there are a people who follow after the false church because this is their end. This is their end. This is what they've been appointed unto. This is what God has appointed for them. Their eyes haven't been enlightened. The God who commanded the light to shine forth out of darkness has not shone in their hearts to reveal God in the face of Jesus Christ to them. That's just it. They don't know God. And we can do nothing about that ourselves. They don't know the paths of life. And so therefore, as the text says here, they don't take hold of the paths of life. You can't take hold of the paths of life unless you know them. And unless you know the way of life. Unless God reveal it to you, you can't lay hold on eternal life. Not everyone who calls themselves a believer, a Christian, knows the Lord Jesus and has passed from death unto life. This is just not the case with everyone who calls themselves such. Yet, this we look at in conclusion and in application for ourselves. We never for one moment give up on these people. We never for one moment give up on those who we think they are a hopeless case. We are to pray for them and to seek to witness to the truth of Christ. The words of eternal life, holding forth the word of life to them. We cannot change them, but God sends us forth to them to let our light shine forth before men. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, we don't know what God will take. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We can't give up hope. We can't give up hope that those who we just think are a closed book and they just will not hear the truth. Especially those who are the religious. Especially those who are of the Christian religion. We can't give up hope until there is no hope. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There's still hope, dear friends. But let this be known. Let this be known in the church of God. And this always would be our prayer. When the world looks on, we haven't got the power to change all these false churches, all these who preach a false way. But when the world looks on, let it be known. Let it be known that there is a distinction between the people of the truth and those who follow the strange woman, false gospels.